We're going to get some Bible open now. That's the kind of center of what we do as a church family. And so if you would like a Bible, please put a hand in the air. There's one of our team that they'd love to bring you one over. We're going to be reading today from Colossians. Janet's going to come and read to us in a moment. But again, if you're kind of newer to church, it's worth knowing that the Bible is kind of a book made up of books. And so what we're reading today is a letter. It's a letter from a man named Paul, and he's writing to a church, probably not dissimilar to one like this, and he's kind of encouraging them and helping them in their life of trusting Jesus. And so we're going to pick up that today. Janet's going to read that to us, and we're just going to read the first 14 verses and then pray and then look at that together.
Colossians 1:1-14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, the faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins.
Great. Well, keep that open. We're going to just spend a few moments trying to get some stuff out of these words from the Bible to help us today, to help us understand what's going on today. But I'm aware that we need God's help to do that. This is God's word, the Bible, so we need his help to understand it. So let's pray together before we do that. God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for the scriptures. We thank you that they are here to make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. We thank you that they are here to correct us and teach us and train us in righteousness. And so, Father, we simply ask today that as we look at this part of your word, the Bible, together, that you would be doing those things for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, on the 5th of October, 2017, the England football team qualified for the World Cup. Whey! And there was great rejoicing. It was a pretty unspectacular qualification, I admit that, but it was a qualification nonetheless. To qualify for something means that you make the grades, you meet the mark, you are good enough for something. Last Saturday, if you were, some of you are just thinking, oh, not more football, we thought it was all over, he's now talking about it again. But last Saturday, the England football team qualified for the World Cup semi-finals. And on that day, there was great rejoicing. Yeah. Some of you are enthusiastic about that. There was a great party, there was great joy, there was great rejoicing because the England football team had qualified, they'd met the mark to play in the semi-finals. And then sadly on Wednesday night, they failed to qualify for the World Cup final. They didn't quite meet the mark to play in today's game. They weren't quite good enough. They didn't quite meet the grades. You see, to qualify for something is something we all understand, isn't it? It's built into life around us, this idea of qualifying, meeting the mark, making the grades. Two of the guys being baptized a bit later, Noah and Ethan, are still in the school system. And in the school system, qualifying, perhaps they wouldn't use that language, but it's everywhere. Am I good enough? Do I make the mark to play in this sports team? Have I done enough in my end of year tests to get into the set I want to be in next year? Have I done enough? Perhaps, you know, Jazz is at uni, you know, she had that moment of thinking, have I got the grades I need to get into the university that I want to be part of? Have I qualified? It's just everywhere. And maybe it's not just in young people, but maybe it's for us grown-ups too. Have I qualified to get this job that I'm applying for? Have I done enough? Do I meet the mark? Do I do enough to get the promotion I want or the pay rise? See, qualifying is just built into the fabric of life. Sadly, it creeps into our relationships as well, doesn't it? Do you find that? Maybe you've gone through that process of looking for love and you think, have I done enough for this person to like me, to love me? Perhaps in relationships, like family relationships, have I done enough for mum and dad to be proud of me? Or perhaps as parents, you're like, have I done enough for my kids to not abandon me as soon as they get the opportunity? Do I qualify for that kind of thing? There's plenty of parents nudging their kids there next to them. Qualifying is all over life, isn't it? And today, I want to suggest to us that we are celebrating a qualifying. Today, we are celebrating the qualifying of three people for heaven. But it's a qualifying this morning with a difference, because it has been done for them. You see, we spend our whole world, don't we, trying to qualify for things, but for our celebrating today, it is something that has been done for them. Someone has done something for Noah, for Ethan, and for Jazz that qualifies them, that means they meet the mark, that means they are good enough to get into heaven. Now, who has done something for them? Well, that's why I want us to just kind of spend a few minutes looking at these words that are on the screen. They're actually on the pages in front of you, but they're up on the screen here. Let me just read them again. It says that we give joyful thanks to the Father. That's what Paul wants these Christians to do, to be joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. See that word? He has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. We are celebrating today that God has done something for these three people to qualify them for a place in heaven. See, that's what he's talking about when he has this long phrase. You know, Paul speaks in very kind of religious language, you know, so you kind of lots of long sentences, lots of big things, and you're thinking, what's he talking about? But when he says that the Christians share in the inheritance of his holy people, or maybe your version says the saints in front of you there, who shares in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, he's talking about heaven. See, an inheritance is something that you get in the future. It's something that you're waiting for. The saints isn't the Southampton football team, and it's not just the people on stained glass windows. The saints, the holy people in the Bible, are those who are living by faith in Jesus Christ. And what is the future that awaits those who live by faith in Jesus Christ? It is this inheritance. It is heaven. Not a place with clouds and kind of white suits and wings, but it is a place that the Bible speaks of as the world we know it, as we have it now, but without all the sufferings, without all the evils, without the brokenness that ruins life as we know it today. And today, friends, we celebrate, we joyfully give thanks to the Father because he has qualified three people to be part of that eternal home. I don't know if you're into this kind of thing, but if you've ever kind of stood back, perhaps you're new to church today, and you just look at kind of the religious territory, and you just see religions coming out of your ears, and you just think, well, what makes any of them any different from one another? Well, let me tell you this morning that most of the religions of this world, if you boil them down, they are about qualifying. They are about qualifying for a better place, a better world, a better existence, a better place in the chain of incarnation or whatever it may be. They're all about qualifying, doing something, making some kind of effort to make yourself go further up the chain, to be in a better place, to get to heaven. And I want to tell you today that we are not celebrating that Jazz and Noah and Ethan have done enough or been good enough, and I know that because I live with one of them. They have not been good enough, or they have not done church enough times in their lives to suddenly have made the grade for heaven. No, quite the opposite. We are celebrating what God has done for them to qualify them, to help them to make them meet that mark that they might one day inherit heaven. And what is it that God has done for them? That's the question, isn't it? What is it that God has done for them to qualify them, to allow them to meet the mark for heaven? Well, let's have a look at these words again. See, look how it goes on. Verse 13, if you're using the paper Bible in front of you, says this. For he has, there's a word, rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. See, God the Father, to qualify people for heaven, rescues them. That's what he's done for Noah, for Jazz, and for Toby. He has rescued them. Did I just say random names out of the out there? It's one of those days. Anyone else? No, we could just have some names, couldn't we? What has he done for these friends? He's rescued them. Now that word rescue, we know that word, don't we? Particularly this week. To rescue means to pluck something from severe danger. I guess that all of us this week will have been absolutely gripped with that story of the boys being rescued from the caves in Thailand. I mean, here were 12 boys and their coach stuck in the darkness of a cave. Time was running out for them. Air was running out. The waters were rising. And these 12 boys and their coach were totally unable to help themselves. They needed to be rescued. They needed to be plucked from danger. And what a rescue it was. I don't know if you've had the chance to kind of go back and read the full account. Yesterday I sat down and I read the full account from start to finish. And what a rescue story it was. What an amazing thing happened. But these words from the Bible tell us that to qualify people for heaven, God has to first rescue them. A rescue needs to take place. You see, look again at the words. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. Jazz and Noah and Ethan, like the rest of us, lived under the dominion of darkness. Now, that sounds a bit like a Marvel comic, doesn't it? If you kind of newer to that kind of thing, the dominion of darkness. Sounds like we've kind of dropped into the middle of some superhero movie. But perhaps a better way to think about it is swap the word dominion for domination. We've lived under the domination of darkness. The Bible often uses imagery of light and dark to contrast good and evil, what is right with what is wrong, God with the way that our world is today. And whilst those of us perhaps in this room are not as bad as we could be, especially if we compare ourselves to others who we consider really bad, whilst we're not as bad as we could be, our lives and our hearts and our minds are dominated, they are ruled over by darkness. I mean, just think about that for a moment. We do things, don't we, and say things that we regret. We do and say things we know are wrong. We've many of us perhaps have chosen to live life without God. Many of us have chosen to live life for self. That's the thing that drives us and dominates us. And you see, we are therefore helpless slaves. We are bound to this way of life. And as people dominated under the domination of darkness, it disqualifies us. You see, that's the point. It actually disqualifies us to be part of the kingdom of light. See, that's how he describes heaven. See, light and dark, just they can't go together. You know, you turn on a light in a dark room, the darkness disappears. Light and dark, they just don't meet. And for the dominion of darkness and those of us living under the dominion of darkness, the domination of darkness, danger looms. And so what do we need? If that is where we are, if that is where we start life, if that is the world we live in, what do we need? See, then you begin to understand why we need rescue. We need plucking from the danger. And we don't just need a rescue, we need a rescuer. And that rescuer, as you look at these words, is Jesus. You see, Jesus here is described, if you look at them, as the kingdom of the Son that God loves, God the Father loves. Jesus, in many ways, like those diving teams who went down into the cave, who entered the darkness and plumbed the depths of the danger. Jesus is the one who left heaven and he came into the dominion of darkness. He came into this dark world. Why? So that he could pluck us from the danger, that he could save us from what we deserve. And you see on the screen here again, you'll see the word redemption. You see that in the last line? Now there's another church word, isn't it? Bible word, redemption. But I want to tell you this morning that that's another rescue word. You see, redemption is the setting free of a slave. The redemption is the setting free of someone bound, but it comes at a cost. And Jesus came into this world, and as he came to this world and he went to the cross, he was paying the cost that was needed to set us free from the domination of darkness. Suman Gunan, if that's how you say his name, was one of the divers over the last week that lost his life in order to save the lives of those boys. And Jesus himself is the one who lost his life in order to rescue others from the darkness. And how did he do it? Well, look at the very last words on the screen. It's all about the forgiveness of sins. Friends, if we're going to qualify for this kingdom of light, if we're going to qualify for a place in heaven, forgiveness is needed. If we're going to meet the mark, if we're going to ever be good enough, we have to have our sins forgiven. See, Jazz and Noah and Ethan, they have qualified for heaven. Why? Because they've asked Jesus for that rescue. They've asked him for the forgiveness. And simply, I want to say to you this morning, have you? Have you asked Jesus for that rescue, for that forgiveness, for that redemption, whatever word you want to pick up here? Because anyone who asks Jesus, he's more than willing to help. But I want you to notice very quickly, just as we kind of wrap this up. Actually, he qualifies people for heaven. The Father qualifies people for heaven, not just with a rescue, but he transfers them. Let me just put up these two words. You see, it's not just a rescue, for he's rescued us from the dominion of darkness, but he's also brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. He rescues people, and then he puts them under new management. Where we used to live in Edmonton, which is just a few miles from here, there was one shop that was always changing hands, and it always had a new leader, new management. And this sign used to go up really regularly, under new management, just every few weeks. And you're thinking, well, how many new managers can this place have? And strangely, the staff all stayed the same, but it was just under new management every few weeks. And so there was a new leadership, there was a new boss, there was a new way of doing things. Now look again, you see, at these words. He has brought us, he has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. See, once he rescues people, like Jazz and Noah and Ethan, he then transfers them under the new management of his Son, the Lord Jesus. They have a new boss. They have a new voice that they're learning to listen to. It doesn't mean that they're perfect. Far from it. But actually what it does mean is that they're learning to listen to the voice of light rather than the voice of darkness. See, God doesn't rescue us. This is a wonderful thing, okay? If you're here this morning and this is new to you, God doesn't rescue us and then kind of pull us out the cave, as it were, and say, right, off you go, leave yourselves to it. He rescues us, and then he brings us under the leadership of the one who rescues us, the one who has qualified us, that we might get to the inheritance that he's promised us. We stick close to the one who qualifies us for heaven. We mustn't move from him. We mustn't then go on and try and qualify ourselves. You see, imagine for a moment that Jazz and Noah and Ethan, they tell you today that they've asked Jesus for a rescue and they've been forgiven. But they then spend the rest of their lives trying to qualify themselves for heaven. That would be crazy. Instead, what they do today, what Jesus does for people is he rescues them and then he brings them under his leadership that they might then walk with him, the one who qualifies them for heaven. The Father, God the Father, transfers people into his kingdom with a new king. And it's these rescued, under new management people that qualify to one day inherit heaven. Friends, that's what we're doing today. We are joyfully giving thanks to the Father today. We are celebrating a qualifying. But it's not like England qualifying for a sports tournament or someone qualifying for a Wimbledon final where we all say, oh, you're amazing. No, this is a qualification that has been done for them. God has qualified these guys for heaven by rescuing them through Jesus, by forgiving their sins, and by transferring them into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And if you're new to church today, that is what we call the gospel. Maybe you've heard that word, gospel songs, gospel choirs. That word gospel just means an announcement of kind of world-changing, life-changing news. And in the passage that Janet read to us earlier, you'll discover that that gospel, that message of God who's qualifying people for heaven, who rescues them and then brings them under new management, that message, that gospel, when it is believed by people, is bearing fruit all over the world. It is qualifying people for heaven from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And friends, I simply want to tell you this morning that it is a message that if you believe it too, will qualify you for heaven. Let's spend a moment praying, and then we're going to sing a song, and I'll explain what we're going to do next. God, our Father in heaven, we recognize this morning our total inability to qualify ourselves for heaven. Father, even at our best, we know that we live under the domination of darkness. And so, Father, thank you that you sent Jesus into this world to rescue us, to redeem us, to forgive our sins, that we might be qualified for heaven. Father, thank you for that work that you've done in the lives of Jazz and Noah and Ethan. Father, please would you help them as they seek to live under the new management of Jesus, listening to his voice, sticking closely to him, the one who alone qualifies people like us for heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.